Alright, let's call the September 19th meeting of Ways and Means to order. Resolution 432, like take no action per Legislator Nolan.
Works great.
Resolution 473, can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
I'll second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 476, can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 477?
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. I'll put the move to block 480-41.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor blocking?
Aye.
Aye.
481 block?
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? 483, can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? 484.
Motion?
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? 526.
I'll move it.
Second? Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 527.
I'll move it.
Second?
I will second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried.
I'm moving block 528, 29, and 30.
Second?
I will second the block.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay. I'll make a motion on the block.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. 531.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried.
Feeling kind of busy.
532. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second?
It's all the public work stuff.
Yep.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 533.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 534.
Make a motion. We block 534, 35, 36, 37, 38. They're all UCAT related.
38. Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Move the block.
I'll move the block.
Second? Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Move the block 539, 540.
Second?
I'll second the block.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay. I'll move the block.
Second?
Second.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
You are good.
Opposed? So carried. 547.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Discussion?
Let's have a long discussion about it.
It's something. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, we're a perfect game.
Guys, it's not over yet. Let's not.
Second. Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
There are some forthcoming resolutions. Comptroller Gallagher.
Thank you, ma'am. You're on the table?
Yes.
I'm starting to feel unsafe.
No, you must stay back there.
In your chair, sir. So just to give an overview of some of the work that we're working on, you know, we released a public pay dashboard last week. I hope you've all had a chance to look at it. We hope that it'll help inform the budget discussions, and we welcome any feedback on it. It's a work in progress. We do have ongoing work continuing, you know, CARES 1, we're going to be taking a look at that, and we're auditing health insurance, so you'll be hearing from us. It just takes time. Be patient. That's what I have to say about that. And of course, you know, we welcome any feedback or ideas from you. But
can you give us a quick update on CARES 2? Where it's at with all the?
We're still waiting for some documentation. CARES 2.
Mm-hmm. All the checks that were supposed to have gone out for the eligible and where that's at.
Eligible has gone out. Yeah, the eligible. If claims were submitted, they were reimbursed.
Okay. And yeah. Reimbursed. Where are the ineligible?
I don't have the answer to that.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you'd have to check the economic documents.
Sorry, I got an idea.
Yeah. And you're talking about the other new businesses that were extended.
The new contracts that. Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. We don't anticipate any bumps in the road on that.
Okay, good.
I'm here today also to discuss our budget request for 2024. And first, I want to thank Chair Bartel because typically in years past, we've made this presentation to the Laws and Rules Committee. which is a great committee, but doesn't see the breadth of our work, and we really don't do very much with them except show up once a year and talk about our budget. So we appreciate the opportunity to sit here at this table at Ways and Means and talk about our request for 2024. I do recall in previous years other departments were making their budget requests at the same time, and I believe the executive budget was released. So I want to note that what we present today, you know, if there's a significant deviation in the executive budget, we would request the opportunity to come back and discuss it with you. I know you have sort of the template form from New World. It was sent out as part of the Ways and Means packet, but I also wanted to share with you a more simplified version of the budget. It looks like this, and I'm going to run through and talk about some of the changes from 2023 to today, if that's helpful. First of all, I want to note, just for those of you who weren't here and for people who don't remember, in 2020 and 2021, we did not have a director of internal audit. It was a budgeted position in 2020, but we did not fill it because of COVID. We actually withdrew that position from our budget in our budget request for 21. In 2022, that position was a budgeted position and was filled part of the year. I'm going to skip right now just for the moment over the personnel lines, just to the other portion of our budget to identify those things that are significant changes. Office equipment we don't have. Software, the software number, as you can see in the 2022 actual, was actually moved to licenses and certifications, and you can see it in the line 4620, so miscellaneous contractual licenses and certifications. It didn't really go away, it just moved in the budget where it was. Our office supplies are consistent. We are requesting again professional services for accounting and auditing outside support. And last year we made a similar request. At the end of the day, the legislature approved a $25,000 line in miscellaneous contractual. It's down at the bottom, 4660. That's in the 2023 adopted budget. But we are requesting that kind of service again. I will tell you what we almost used that for this year. We actually retained BST, which is an accounting firm, to review our work on the USITA books. We didn't actually have to make use of that contract, but it was good to have that sort of resource there. And similarly with professional services, legal services, we are again requesting $25,000. Even though not much has been spent this year, I can tell you that I am expecting a significant bill right now from Whiteman, Osterman & Hanna, who's our outside counsel, and we may need to litigate subpoenas in 2023. We don't yet know. So we do request that that line be maintained in the future. It is always our goal not to spend that money if we don't need to.
So you've used nothing out of it in this year?
We've used, so far year to date, $876 been billed, but the bulk of Whiteman's work was August and September, and I haven't received a bill yet. Okay. So, yeah. Our conference expenses are going up a little bit from $9,600 in 2023 to $10,050. We use the lion's share of this each year. Yellow Book requires our auditors to get a significant number of credits of continuing professional education. And we try to be as expedient as we can with that, but it is a really great it is a great thing to be able to constantly train your staff. And I can say that we are looking into additional training on things like forensic auditing, which isn't something that we've been trained on specifically in the past. Similarly, travel, we're keeping the same. Again, licenses and certifications, that's our internal software, our audit software. Memberships, we're requesting to go up a little bit. There are some additional auditing organizations. The International Association of Internal Auditors is an example of one that we'd like to join. Subscriptions and periodicals keeping stagnant, printing stagnant, and then other miscellaneous contractual, again, you know, we were afforded that in prior years and we have it in the legal line, but you are free to put it where you see fit. I'm going to flip the page now to talk about staffing. We have a really great team right now. For the first time ever in the history of the Comptroller's Office, we have two CPAs on staff. And I can tell you that is not an easy task. The going rate for a CPA in our market is $130,000 annually, $130,000 annually. We are going to be adding some additional responsibilities, we hope, including things like revenue oversight this year. and this coming year. Not only is the DAC position filled by Charles Dinstel, but with the good graces of this body, we were able to staff a second position, a new position called the Quality Analyst. And she has been with us since the end of March. We will actually be coming back to this body in October and speaking a little bit more about the work going on under her purview. But I wanted to share with you the requested budget salary lines for these, and I want to talk to you specifically about the hours. We have proposed to move the Director of Internal Audit and Control to 80 hours. He is actually, that is a union-tested position, and he is overseeing 80-hour employees in the audit staff. We actually use that time. Okay, so I know that there has been monkey business in other departments with hours. We use those 80 hours, and they're working that whole time, and we are proposing to firm up Charles Dinstel's hours with the people that he's actually managing. In addition, the confidential secretary line, you will notice, has a significant increase. The director of personnel, Dawn Spader, last year produced a management salary review. And in there, she identified that all of the confidential secretaries in the county are underpaid compared to the administrative assistants. And you will see in the proposed budgets from all the elected officials an agreed upon rate of $36 an hour. That rate was a recommendation of the director of personnel when I asked her the going rate for that position. So there is a proposed increase there. In addition, I have am proposing to reduce the deputy controller's hours, and I want to talk to you about this. Last year, we had a proposed salary increase for the deputy controller, and in the last negotiations on the budget, what was done was to increase her hours to make her work longer to earn that time. What that does is create salary compression between her and the audit teams based on an hourly rate. So I am proposing that the comptroller, the deputy comptroller, and the confidential secretary have the same hour weekly hours.
So currently they all are scheduled for 80, and you're going to reduce it? Oh, okay.
Currently the deputy comptroller is scheduled for 75.
All right, so the comptroller is 70 or 80?
70 now.
70 now, and okay.
Yep.
And what about the confidential now?
The confidential is 70 now.
70 now.
Yep.
So the only change is to the deputy?
Yes, the only change is to the deputy for hours. On the management side, the DAC is being proposed to be moved to 80 for the team, the rest of the internal audit team. Before I answer another question, I just would like to review and note that because of the change in Charles Dinstel's hours for the DAC, that is a 10% salary increase, and because of Dawn Spader's identification of the low pay for confidentials, that is a 13% increase. The rest of these increases are between 3% and 4%. So we are trying to avoid the compression issues that have really plagued our office. It makes it very, very difficult to recruit and to retain staff when they are supervising people that make more per hour than they do. I am happy to answer any questions on any section of this budget.
I mean, this is less of a question and more of a policy statement from my perspective. You know, we've talked a lot about, you know, number of hours and salaries over the years. I feel like the deputy comptroller's salary was increased by an increase in hours in the past, and now we're increasing the hours back down. So I don't know that I can, I mean, A, I don't know I can support that, and B, once somebody is on salary, to me, you know, a per hour dollar amount is not a compression issue.
So if I may answer that, I am going back to my request from last year for the hours for that position. I did not propose the increased hours last year. That was, you know,
a compromise.
That was a decision. Yeah, that was a decision.
It was a compromise.
It was a way to get it done, yes. And I just want to say, I know there's a recognition that when people are on salary, they just work as much as they can, but I can tell you, I keep people to their hours very strictly.
Yep. I also want to point out to the legislators at the table that this would have the deputy comptroller making more than the clerk of the legislature. Which, again, you know, is a department head position. I just want to keep pointing these things out because we rubber stamp these things over and over again, and you know we do less for our staff than other people's staff.
Yeah, I mean, so I'm gonna revisit the management salary document that came out through personnel in relation to the confidentials across the county. I recall that, so I'm not even gonna speak to that. But speaking to the deputy comptroller, I recall minority leader was referring to as the compromise to get it done, and I share some of the frustration of particularly with deputies. This has happened in other departments. I don't share, and I'm not to say that this is exactly what you mean, but I don't share, although having come from the private sector, I feel it, the idea of, oh, you're on salary, and so you work whatever hours. Obviously, with union jobs, that's not the case. But with true management jobs, with deputies, I mean, have deputies, deputy county executives sitting behind me now that I'm sure if they were logging their hours, they way below, just based on the calls you answer, they way below the hours
100%.
out of the water. Like, there's no world of 70, 80. And so it does frustrate me in a select few, this being one of them, in a select few situations across this organization, that conversation where we start to get into 70 hours. We had this, I'm not going to mention, we had this conversation about a department head last year, which was making my head explode. The idea of 70, 80, 75, it's the head of a major department in the county. We're not talking about hours. We are not talking about hours in consulting. So I can have a compression conversation in relation to the number, but not in relation to the hours in this position. And I think it's a conversation that absolutely needs to be had. But I'm holding both. I'm holding both the compression issue, but the issue that Minority Leader Ronk raises, because again, and not looking at it against legislative employees, but against where we were last year, the movement of hours for a discussion is problematic for me in this.
Yeah, I mean, just to piggyback on that, I mean, we're playing hours games here, though, with salary increases for, you know, the 13%, that's what it is, about 13% for the DIAC. You know, so we're increasing that position by 13% by upping the hours, and there's nothing to say that Comptroller Gallagher or another comptroller in the future could come back in 2 years and say, well, now there's compression issues with hourly rate because we, you know, because this person's at 80 hours, so I'm going to reduce them to 70 hours, because that is definitely how the deputy comptroller was increased in the past. Maybe not in the very recent past, but in the past.
So it's actually 10%. It's the confidential that's 13%.
Yeah.
I would just urge you to think about, listen, I would like to see a consistent hours across county, period. But given this is where we are, I am looking at ways to retain staff. Turnover is extremely expensive, and as I told you, the market rate for CPAs is $130,000. I know people can say, well, you're here now, so that's too bad. But the bottom line is, the county is not competitive. I believe strongly that when the salary study comes out next year, it is going to show that there is a big gap in certain areas. So, you know, I am proposing what I think is a solution here. I recognize that you've seen problems with this in other places, but I do think in order to keep the rate of the hourly earnings for the deputy comptroller competitive, this is necessary.
Yeah, again, I struggle with thinking of this position in terms of hourly. The DIAC, however we pronounce it, you're saying is it's a union competitive position. You're also saying that you hold employees to the hours, which means you're telling me that you have the deputy, again, a management position that's a deputy, and it's strange to talk. I mean, there's the deputy sitting here, so it does. I just want to acknowledge it makes me feel a little strange. Not that you're here, but that we're talking about a person. So I'm just gonna say it. That you're telling me that you have, that you're actually holding your deputy to a certain number of hours, something that I don't know of existing across this organization in terms of those high-level management positions. The other thing that I just want to raise up, you know, I'm curious what the salary study is going to show, and I expect, especially now, I mean, I think there's been significant change in the last few years in terms of salaries, certainly post-COVID. But that said, you know, when you think about benefits as well, what does this number that I'm looking at doesn't include the things you include in your transparency portal? Like when we talk about salaries for employees, we in the legislature are generally looking at the base salary, not the longevity. We're not thinking or factoring the value of benefits, etc. So again, those discussions are a little more complex, I think, than simply saying, well, when the report comes out. And not to you, Comptroller, but certainly in this office, I can't recall an office that's had more discussion about our changes in my tenure here. Absolutely the number one department historically, where we're looking for a raise, then we're going to go to 70, then we're going to 75, then we're back to 70, then we're going to 80, then no raise, so we're going up to 80. But, you know, just alternative work schedules, the history of what's happened in this department with the back and forth over hours is like no other department, at least in terms of legislative awareness of it. There may have been alternative work schedules that we weren't aware of that achieved that goal. I'm going to remain open-minded, but I share many of the minority leaders.
Most of the alternative pays that are included in the dashboard are not available to the management and the controller's office. So there is longevity pay, and the deputy controller and the confidential, I think for the first time this coming year, will receive a $1,500 longevity payment each.
Thanks. If you want to go to Legislature Cahill first.
Thank you very much. So I'm going to go through the chair to the exec staff if they have this answer. So I'm wondering if you guys have a ballpark on what the collective bargaining agreement salary increases are for next year. Are they in the same 3-4% for next year, more or less?
I mean, I think generally it's 2.5% what negotiated and 1/4 on the hourlies for CSEA, and okay. I think it's widely reflected against the other 4 bargaining units.
So under 3 would be the ceiling, about, you would think?
Correct.
Okay. So then when you folks are constructing the budget, are you anticipating a certain percentage of salary increases for all the staff other than management like we have here in this, an additional? So we have 2 positions that are getting double-digit increases, and then another 4 or 5 that are looking to get 3-4% increases. So when you are planning the budget, do you foresee a similar pattern through all the departments?
No.
No. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. First, I'd like to point out, I wish it seems like the DA's office and the comptroller's office gets an edge and an attitude from a lot of legislators in ways and means that that the executive branch and other branches in the sheriff's department doesn't seem to get. I wish we were this brave and tough any time we talk to other elected officials and their people. Look, we'll never get to it. We never do, but we should have a big discussion. We should have some, like I always say, we should have a commissioner, special committee go through. Everybody should be on a 40-hour work week. We shouldn't raise anybody's salary, especially management. We should make sure there's no management that's getting comp OT or extra time. These things are not uniform. Nothing is uniform across this county. As far as union goes, we have a lot of positions that the personnel department has failed to properly represent as far as their title and their job duties go with what their grade is. We should have, I hope we get that salary study. If we ever do, it's like the space study. Maybe we'll get lied to again and excuses and all these other things when it's really our fault and purchasing's fault and all these other things that are really going on with that space study. But when it comes to the salary study, I hope we get it and I hope we do something with it. But with regards to CPAs, I don't know, does the executive branch even have a CPA? Because maybe there's something that some of these positions, there should be room. If we have a budget analyst that's not a CPA and gets their CPA, one of our budget analysts is a CPA. Certainly, you deserve more money when you're a CPA, but there are positions that you can fill sometimes with an accounting person that isn't necessarily a CPA. There's probably room for us to work that into the position in the next budget cycle, where if you have a CPA, there's an extra $10,000 to that position. It makes sense. I think we need more CPAs. When you see what's going on in budget and finance, I hope they start hiring CPAs soon. And I'd be open to paying them more. But this just seems like more conversations that aren't going to go anywhere.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I just had a quick question for clarification. It's not a position or issue or anything. With the confidential secretary, you mentioned in your presentation that there was an agreement amongst elected officials around compensation for confidential secretaries per the report from personnel. So the current slate of electeds, other electeds, the request is all, you guys decided on that 66 number? Or was it a percentage?
No, increase? It was a $36 an hour.
Hourly, that's
yes,
what it was.
Yes, the hourly, yeah.
So that, the 36, that's what the electeds came to. Yeah. Just to know what to expect. And you're welcome to walk into those anytime.
If I may also just, going back to Legislator Cahill's question about the increases in the non-management staff salaries, those were our calculations based on the collective bargaining agreements. So we did not make up numbers. This was, maybe these are not correct, but this is our interpretation of what was required in the collective bargaining agreement.
Thanks. Two things. First off, just a question for the comptroller through you, Mr. Chairman. The $130,000 range for CPAs, is that private sector or public sector?
Private
sector.
Yeah.
So one thing to remember there is that we're always going to pay less in the private sector, but the work-life balance is better, especially in the public accounting world. So
not true anymore.
Excuse me?
We pay more than the private sector in Ulster County now. When you look at our management,
we were talking about CPAs particularly, because the comptroller said that the going rate for CPAs is $130,000. So that's why I was asking about comptrollers. I said particularly for CPAs and public accountants, the work-life balance in the county is what makes up for the difference in salary.
I see positions in the county making $130,000 a year that aren't CPAs.
Legislator Maloney. If you want to be recognized, he was not addressing you. He was asking a question.
I think once he responded, he did ask me originally.
Sorry. I was just saying.
Secondly, I just had a question on the numbers themselves. What we have from Amber with regards to your department request is off by $25,000 from what you handed to us. There was $25,000 in the miscellaneous contractual expenses other. I believe it was website related, perhaps. That's not reflected in here. So, this one has a 2024 request of $872,180. What we have from Amber's stuff from, I think this is, it looks like New World to me, is $897,181. So
well,
I was
that's
just curious.
Mortifying. I said, well, that's mortifying.
Here, I got it right here if you want.
What line are you on? I'm sorry.
That's it's in it's miscellaneous contractual expenses other on the 2024. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is. You're correct.
Okay.
Legislator Ronk is correct. My apologies.
No worries. I just wanted to.
Yeah, it would carry across.
Thank you.
How embarrassing. Please put that in the minutes. if I might just say something lastly on the two items I'd like to note. One is definitely private sector. I was speaking about private sector CPA going rates, and we know we're not the private sector. But in the past, we prided ourselves on having better benefit packages in the private sector, and I don't know that that's true anymore, especially when people come in as Tier 6. So I do think that there needs to be a recognition that Tier 6 employees are not getting the same kind of benefits that earlier employees received, and that definitely weighs into their consideration. I agree, work-life balance is better, and I would say the culture in our office is probably much better, too. And then the last thing I'd like to call your attention to is just underneath the, on the back of the page that we handed out, under the salaries, I wanted to share with you, we don't often trot this out, but our cost avoidance, cost recovery, and revenue enhancement numbers for the years 2020 through 2023, and we
calculated that they're over, you know, $7.9 million in actual cost avoidance, cost recovery, and revenue enhancements for the county. So we think that your investments in this office more than pay for themselves. We're hoping to prove that with the addition of the quality analyst, and we appreciate you making that additional investment last year.
So just real quickly, can't a lot of departments claim these cost avoidances as well? Other departments in the budget office, the legislature, the executive's office, they could all claim these cost avoidances, don't you think?
Yeah, I think that's the way, you know, that's, look at economic development, right? That's the way everybody claims the jobs created.
Right.
But a lot of these, and particularly the investment income, I would say no. And that is the lion's share of the money here. That would not have happened without the investment policy audit by our office. We are expecting other departments to take the recommendations and move them forward, and we appreciate, especially now with new management and finance and the leadership in the executive office, that is happening. So I would say it's sort of a two-step process for those.
Just a small point. When we remove a service, then I'm reluctant to call it cost avoidance if we also lose a benefit that we were trying to provide. So I think that the line about the call center operation savings, if you're talking about while it was open, that money was saved, then that makes sense to me. But if it's just that we don't have it anymore and therefore we're not paying for it, it's a cost avoidance, but a potential benefit.
Well, unfortunately, we're only getting 15 calls a week at the time that we terminated it, so it really...
Was it 15? I thought it was like 9.
Not providing the service.
I understand.
What do we do?
But we wanted to be providing a better service. So.
12 calls.
Legislative amount?
Didn't I put in the resolution to take away the call center? So shouldn't that be legislative savings?
You can get one of these if you want.
I probably could.
I think we should paste this on the bottom
center.
I put an asterisk next to that one for myself,
yeah,
too, Joe.
Yeah. But I do think there's some savings. I don't think there's enough. I don't know what the legislature... Don't we usually add money at every budget cycle these days? I mean, over the last couple of years, I'd say the legislature adds money. But that's all. That's my only point. I don't think we're saving much money these days. We should be saving more. I think there's examples through the years. The comptroller's office years ago found that we weren't getting certain money. I think there was an audit that saved real money. That's an example of how you could really call a savings where there was, I think, something with insurance. We weren't following up with denials of insurance reimbursements. That's probably a study that saved quite a bit of money. Mm-hmm. That's real savings.
Chair Martels.
I'm good, thank you.
The 50% enhancement from Airbnb, can you go into more on that?
There were enhanced revenues in occupancy tax as a result, we believe, of the county entering into the voluntary collection agreement, and that agreement was a recommendation in our audit of short-term rental occupancy tax collection in 2020. And, you know, we'd love to take credit for the full increase, but we don't think that's reasonable. I'm not sticking, you know, these numbers are not hard and fast numbers. I'm trying to put a ballpark estimate that's reasonable to what the comptroller's office has produced. You know, I'd like to include the $37 million identified revenues that UCRA should have paid back the county, but I'm not including it here. It hasn't been realized.
Anybody else? Thank you.
And I hope we'll be able to return once the executive budget is out. Is our office the only office reporting to this committee with its budget?
At this time.
Thank you.
Give it time. Around December.
Make a motion
second.
To adjourn.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, I can talk about that. Thank you. 2-6.